we'll talk about multifractal analysis. Zaman operatif talker on the subject by Mazelia Gunzberg, and well, my version would be slightly different and allow myself connection. So let me start with history. So for a very long time that this concept was introduced in 86 by Jesus. That was a paper of his in
1984. I think that's 78.
No, it was 84. Then I went to Toronto and I met Kostya Heimer. Right? He pointed out that there is a paper of his and Sinai where they do compute the spectrum from.
Yeah.
Well, so now that's not the end of the story. Then I went to PhD defense of Misha Krivoyev, and well, in 83 he was too young to write papers, but he pointed out that there was a paper in 49 by Eagleson, where he practically does multifractal analysis for the rotation of the circle. So, okay.
But who made the word up?
So let me explain what it is all about. So multifractal analysis is the following. You have some probability measure on some metric space, so we can talk about dimensions. And say that J is the support of this measure. And the ideology is the following. We try to decompose that J to the joint union of sets J alpha. And on the set J alpha, mu scales like R to the alpha. So we try to decompose the set in set of points where the local dimension of measure at points of J alpha is alpha. Like to decompose it into fractal sets. And then we look at the dimension spectrum. And of alpha would be just the dimension of J alpha. Well, I won't specify which dimension we take here because this is all non-rigorous. Yes?
Is this okay, an exact decomposition of J? Or
oh, no, it's just something like.
So actually, I have a question there. Is there any physical case where precisely this description is wrong?
Where precisely this is wrong?
Where limb soup and limb in are not equal?
Well, I don't know. Well, what about dynamical, say complex dynamics, say even for semi-hyperbolic dynamics?
No, but for semi-hyperbolic.
You have phase transitions already, so this description somehow doesn't work.
The set where limb soup and limb imp are different in the conceptual set in itself.
Yeah, and actually, so even for this one, even for this object, Minkowski spectrum.
If you have two different Gibbs measures, maybe limb soup given one and you give that the other one.
Yes, true.
Okay, but more, this is supposed to be. Okay, I'll give you the definition. So, what is supposed to be? So, it's supposed to be a graph like that. important point is this point where, so f of alpha is always less than alpha, and then the point, one of the points where it's equal to alpha, it's dimension of mu, so dimension of mu is minimal dimension of the set of four measures. And then you can restore dimension of set J. So f of alpha is the dimension of J, dimension of the support. And then it should be this convex function. And well, you can extract a lot of about behavior of new functions. At least that was the idea. Now, of course, as was already mentioned, this definition doesn't make sense for most situations. So,
I vaguely remember that the notion of dimension, just usual dimension, has some topological meaning. You don't need any metric structure.
Right. So,
is there any generalization of this stuff for the topological space instead of metric space?
No. This is a very metric notion. You need a local behavior. Somehow, topological dimension is not local. Well, it is local property. But
basically, it's when balls double correctly.
Yeah.
That's all you need. So it's rather weak. You need some notion of balls, and somehow when you blow up by two, there shouldn't be too much distortion.
So you do need to talk about something. But again, I will talk about so much more specific situations. Harmonic equations and planes, so on. Okay, anyway, how to make this object rigorous? So let me give two versions of the rigorous dimension special. First of all, these sets usually don't survive. So if you have some nice dynamics or something, you can talk about set J alpha, but usually you don't have them. Instead, you just have this dimension. So one of the versions is the following. So f of alpha zero, half of dimension of the set X, such that there exists sequence delta J, which is equal to zero. So you can see that this is practically the same as this, but now this is a well-defined object. And in Polsky version, this is somehow easier to work.
What's G? What is label?
So this is the set of fractions. So we measure the dimension of points for which we can find a sequence of balls which converge to the point, they get smaller and smaller, and the measure of the ball behaves approximately like delta to alpha. Mm-hmm. And so why I said that J alpha do not survive, because this sets heavily intersect. To one point, you can have lots of, for one point, you can have lots of different focal dimensions. Mm-hmm. There is a limit to the decrease. The set. The limit exists because the set decreases. The next thing is Minkowski version. Let me also denote it by f of alpha, because for practical purposes, they will agree. And this is again limit when n goes to zero. Over n of delta alpha eta. Here you see a slide from Stasis from yesterday. So if you forget about alpha and beta, this would just give you the piping damage. But somehow here we decompose piking dimension, or practically the same as here.
It doesn't have to be contained in the set?
No. No, just both.
Oh,
just
as
long
as
they should pick up some measure. So X should, again, doesn't really matter. So usually this guy is bigger than this.
I thought the difference was that in one case you have packing and in the other you have covering.
That's yet another. So here I could define as a minimal covering by the walls like this. But you see here it's hard to talk about coverings because we have this extra condition. So it's better to talk about that. So the main difference between these two definitions is the same as difference between Minkowski and Hausdorff dimension. Here you have different deltas. And you try to optimize when deltas are all smaller than something. Here you have to fix delta. So that's what's that. Okay, so this would be my heroes, and actually there will be one more parameter, which I would have to introduce. So I will talk about somehow two parameter multifractal dimension spectrum. Well, so let me now turn to what I really want to discuss. So mu is an anchor, and which will be harmonic measure. And let me actually make my life simpler. So let me say that J would be just subset of C's compact. And domain omega would be just extended complex plane minus j, and harmonic measure evaluated in infinity. So omega is evaluated in infinity. It doesn't really matter. All harmonic measures are absolutely continuous with respect to each other, so I can take this one. I would not define harmonic measure if you allow me, because, well, it was defined so many times during this conference already. I think it becomes unnecessary. So now we want to do this stuff for this measure, and let's see why we want to do it. So first, let me remind you what is known for this measure, what dimension properties are known. So first of all, it's known that if J is connected, then dimension is equal to 1. That's Makarov. Dimension is the sense I described there, the minimum dimension of set of all matter. And if J is arbitrary, then dimension of omega is less equal than 1. That's Peter and Rombus. And so now it does tell us something about the shape of the graph. Remember that at 1 it should be 1. So dimension spectrum at 1 should be 1. Now,
so what happens if it's a discrete set of points? Is it called
0?
Discrete.
No omega.
That's Brownian motion. Two dimensions?
It doesn't care about a few points.
One point?
No. Capacity is zero.
Yeah, it should have positive capacity.
If you build a capacitor in dimension 2 out of a point, I predict failure. So the point is that there's a critical Hausdorff dimension, which is 0 in dimension 2.
And in general, it's n minus 2.
Right.
Okay, now there is an additional geometric meaning to this, which is very similar to the meaning which Ilya already described. That's the following. Suppose that our domain looks like Z near some boundary point Z. So this is, I talk about infinite dimension, so this is our J. And suppose that we have an angle theta here. Then alpha at this point Z is pi over theta. Yes, so if we have an angle of opening theta, then alpha is the rate of decay of harmonic measure is pi over theta. It's additional geometric mean. And, well, you would expect that at least for connected J's, alpha, well, theta is at maximum 2 pi, so alpha is greater or equal than 1/2. And this is true, this is Bernick's theorem. For connected sets, the rate of decay of harmonic measure is no less than 1/2. Okay. What I want to do now, I want to introduce one more parameter in this dimension step. And so for this, I will introduce what's called rotation speed. And that's the following. So suppose that our J looks like a logarithmic spiral near point Z. Let me be a bit more precise here. So let's look at ball of some large, some small but fixed radius r. So r fixed. And let's now look at the ball of radius delta. So delta would be something that would go to zero. And fix some point z naught here. So fix some point z naught. It's absolute value z minus z naught equal to r. And let's count the number of times we have to rotate around z to get to delta neighborhood of point z. So more specifically, let's define function g of z, argument of y g of y, argument of y minus z. And let's normalize it so g of z naught is between pi and minus pi. And let's then define this quantity. So argument of z delta would be the infimum of g of y for y minus z equal to delta.
So the point of z is the
central
point.
Z is on the boundary.
It's the central point.
Well, z is the central. So we fix z, and we'll see how many times we have to rotate to get to delta neighborhood of z.
Excuse me.
This is alpha which corresponds to z. This is the rate of decay of harmonic measure. So omega decays like r to the alpha. So omega of ball of radius r is r to the alpha.
Yeah, I'm terribly sorry. Can you repeat again?
Maybe
okay.
Why don't you draw z in orange chalk or something? Or orange arrow.
Okay. So what I really count is the following. I really want to count how many times we have to rotate to get the to delta neighborhood of z. Of course,
So the white line is the boundary of the domain.
White line is the boundary of the domain. So white line is
out of this point. It's somehow.
So it's just the rotation of the boundary around the point. That's how we measure the rotation of the boundary.
I think
going
as a wedge is a very thin wedge.
Yeah, but so there's a second line.
Right.
Not necessary. It could be one line. It could be two lines.
It's just a domain.
Yeah, but eventually you will also want to have an angle there. So.
Oh, eventually there would be an angle.
Yeah.
But, so this is the picture.
But this is not compact.
Oh, well.
It is compact. No, because I can unwind and go to infinity.
Oh, you don't have.
I could go to infinity, right? You stop here.
So let me draw another example so that you see that it's not
So not diffusion.
Would you mind if I throw the domain?
Go ahead. I mean,
I'm a snowflake. Right?
No, just draw the stuff.
There's the domain.
I wanted to contain infinity.
Oh.
Yeah.
So
let's make a little.
Put it on the Riemann sphere. Put that domain on the Riemann sphere.
Yeah, but what I wanted to show, and actually, thank you for the question, because this would be very instructive. So I don't really know how to draw these guys, but I'll try.
After all those years in Sweden,
I'm sorry. Okay, so. So the picture, which appeared here many times, and apparently Alan liked it a lot, as you know, the snowflake. So this would be infinity. And now look at this. So suppose that we want to talk about this point. We can draw it. But how do we get to this point? We go here. So when we try to get to this point, we rotate around this point a lot, right? Because there is thing going here, and here. So this is, for fractals, this is actually a typical behavior. So it occurs quite often on a set of
larger. Is there any mean to specify the typical behavior?
Well, so here there is a Gibbs measure by which.
Well, support of the harmonic measure.
So support of the harmonic measure is the whole boundary. So speaking of typical behavior, that's another thing. So if you want to say what happens almost everywhere by omega, by harmonic measure, and then the situation is not too interesting. So alpha is equal to 1, and well, now we have to define rotation speed. Lambda is the limit when delta goes to 0 as argument of z delta over. So this is.
Here we're assuming a connected set?
Yeah, so for this point, yeah. It says that for now J is connected. I will say what to do when J is disconnected, how to define that. So, but. Omega almost everywhere, alpha is 1, lambda is 0.
Just said, but this argument depends on the path. So where is this independence of the path?
Uh-huh. Well, argument depends on the argument is, so this is a well-defined function.
Well, it's already infimum. So
yeah, and then we take the infimum. So argument is the infimum. And then, of course, it heavily depends on the point z naught. But when we take the limit, we don't really care about it. So just the rotation of the boundary, the binding of the boundary around the point. That's how we should think about this. And this is a regular definition. Okay, so questions?
So where is this?
Isn't it easier to find it in the Riemann mapping?
Yeah, of course. So. But you see, it's not exactly the same. That's slightly disappointing thing. That morally it should be argument of the derivative. Yeah. But argument of the derivative is what? Is the rotation of the tangent vector. And this is rotation around this point. So this is more geometric.
And does it depend on zeta naught and r?
So. The limit does not depend on z naught, and the limit does not depend on r. So the reason we take this r is simply because if you invert this picture, you'll see that you cannot really define the angle from infinity.
Of course, it depends on z, right?
It depends on z, but not on z naught. Of course, it depends on z.
Actually, why does the limit exist?
Oh, it doesn't.
Okay, so you want
to. Yeah, so it exists in the same sense as r to the alpha exists.
Okay.
So in then, so. Okay, so. First, let me say this. So almost everywhere by, so this is Makarov's theorem, essentially. So actually, the proof of this of his theorem gives that almost everywhere by harmonic measure, alpha is 1 and lambda is 0.
So there is no rotation. And if you look at this picture, it means that theta is pi. So almost everywhere by harmonic measure, you have a flat domain. So what Brownian path hits is a flat part of the boundary.
So is the intuition, I'm sort of confused. So you could imagine not logarithmic spiral, but something else, right?
Yeah.
And it would be not conformally invariant in some sense, or scalar?
Not really. So
what chooses this logarithmic spiral? Why do you have log of 1 over delta, not some power?
So because this way it scales like harmonic measure. And I'll be precise.
You can imagine different paths, of course. The lines different.
Oh, sure. But then it has... So this is all, of course, not conformally invariant. Because it's...
But it's Möbius invariant. So
it's Möbius invariant.
That's the first indication.
It's built to the... You built to the towards conformal invariance in some sense.
Not really. So
not
this
really.
Is property of the this is a property of the domain, which is heavily of the boundary of the domain. When you make a conformal map, so I want it to be controllable on the conformal map. That's why I consider logarithmic.
Right. You don't have to use log, but the point is that then your definition will not lead to anything interesting. The interesting points are the points for which this is introduced.
Right.
Okay. So now, if you look omega almost everywhere, nothing interesting happens. But we still can talk about f of alpha lambda. And I won't write the definition. It's written here. Just add the argument here. So let me define this. Argument of x delta j, say, lies between delta j minus gamma minus, or minus lambda minus eta delta j minus lambda plus.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So basically you might imagine the ZS beta and beta prime and then we know the beta.
It doesn't matter.
Does that?
No. So it's possible to prove that if you take different theta primes, it would lead to the same definition. And it's easy. This is it. And so the same thing here. So So we can consider these two parameters. And then there is one rescaling which I wanted to show. So the reason why I drew this line is that, in a sense, it is extreme. Because if you unwrap this spiral which rotates with the speed lambda, just unwrap it, you get the minimum possible angle, the maximum possible angle at this point. So what I am saying here that alpha is greater or equal than 1 plus lambda squared over 2. So for connected domains, for connected plates, alpha is greater or equal than 1 plus lambda squared over 2. And this is due to Bjorn, and then it's due to Pomerian, due to your course. So, but this is essentially all in Berman's paper, which proves this estimate. Okay, so this is actually an inequality which is heavily used in complex dynamics. Now, before I move on, I want to define this for non-connected J's. So suppose that J is now disconnected. And then what do we do there? We cannot really look at the rotation of any line. Well, they would rotate differently. Imagine a counter set, then around every point you can rotate a lot. So what you use there, you use Green's function. So that G be Green function for Dirichlet problem. So basically what it is, it's the string which is equal to 0 on J, harmonic on complement of J n behaves like log at infinity. So this is a Green's function. This is a very natural object. A bit later by. So now let us look at the gradient of this Green function, and let us look at the gradient flow. And let us call the trajectories of gradient flow. Here I definitely have to use another check. Well, this is not my joke, actually. I heard it from Peter about 10 years ago. This is what we call green light.
So in this one situation, the gradient of G is just the density of the harmonic on the surface, right?
For connected situation, this green lines are just images of the radii under the ring.
No, gradient of G itself is the density of the harmonic measure on the line. If it's a small
well, if it's a gradient of the boundary,
the
yes.
Boundary.
If it exists on the boundary,
it's
and
small, it's small, right?
Yeah. So here I'm happily away from the boundary. And so what happens there? Let me draw a small picture. So imagine there is a mountain at infinity in every direction. You can throw a green line. Some of them happily hit the side J. So this is the side J. So some of the green lines would hit J. Some of them, on the other hand, would hit critical points. Actually, two of them would hit critical points, and then they would continue like this. And so, well, using this, you can define an analog of Riemann map, so-called Green map. I won't call it
a
Riemann
map. Do you have a problem with some gas, if you have small gas around?
Well, boundary is regular.
Sorry,
what
about critical points?
So critical point is where an analog J is equal to zero. So that's critical. So you don't have gradient flow there. Okay. And the point of all this discussion is the following, that we define rotation along these lines. That's all. That's how you define it for this. Okay. Now to the Rick's question about why I didn't define it for Riemann map. Of course, that's how I became interested in Riemann map. So let's see how to study it. So how does one study this assumption? Let's consider first J to be connected. And let's look at the Riemann map. Phi to the complement of J. So phi.
Can I get them simply connected?
So J is connected. You see, I was careful here. So we evaluate harmonic measure at infinity.
Not necessarily simply connected.
Oh, it won't be simply connected, right? That's a hole here. But it's okay. So if J is connected, then we can organize this Riemann map from the complement of the disk to the complement of J, which maps infinity to infinity. And then, of course, what is harmonic measure? It's just the image of linear map. I don't remember where to put the star here, I guess here. So just push forward. And now, what is green lines? Well, it's easy to see that these are just images of radii. And now, how should one think about this alphas and lambdas in terms of rotation, in terms of phi? So if you look, say, at a small interval here of size, say, r, and let's look at a point so let's look at the center of this interval. Let's look at the point 1 plus r psi. Then, what is the derivative of this? So what is the meaning of the derivative? Is the absolute value of the derivative. What it does, it maps this ball here to this ball of radius delta here. So it's something like 2 delta divided by r. So it's, what is r now here? Remember, omega is push forward of linear measure. So the linear measure is r. So delta divided by omega b of z delta, where z is some point here. And argument of this phi prime at this point. Well, that's approximately argument of at the point Z at distance delta. This distance delta. So that's how one should think about it. And well, of course, this is very non-rigorous. First of all, nobody said that there is an image of this point, that everything behaves like this, but at least you see that there is a connection. And again, I already said there is a fundamental difference between this one and this one. This is rotation of the tangent vector. If you think about it along the radius, this is rotation around the point. But one can make something of it. And let me define my yet another object. It's called beta step. So what you do here is the following. You take the derivative. You take the integral means of the derivatives of the derivative along the circle of radius 1 plus r. And then, well, you just not just take integral means, you take to the power z. It's very important to put z inside. This would be a complex power. So the integral to minus 1. Log of r. And then we take limsu. And r goes to. And this would be beta. Well, minus. Log 1 of r. Yeah. Okay, so this is basically what this beta is the rate of decay of this integral means. Okay, why do I. Z is now any complex number, z plus I t tilde. Well, let me write down what it is. So what is this absolute value of it? That's, well, it's absolute value of phi prime to the t times exponent of minus t tilde argument of phi prime. So this integral is really related to this discussion. So t somehow corresponds to the rate of decay of harmonic measure and t tilde to the rotation. And now, well, when you play with this observation and you do a lot of stuff, well, you get an inequality. That f of alpha lambda is less or equal than infimum of alpha beta t plus I t tilde plus 1 minus alpha t minus lambda t tilde plus alpha. Well, very simple expression.
That's basically Chebyshev inequality.
Not really, it's Legendre transform.
Wow.
So, but basically, it is Chebyshev.
It is.
Yeah. So you just estimate the integrals. And well, okay, anyway, so we have this one-sided inequality. Unfortunately, it's just one-sided. And now, well, in the remaining 10 minutes, let me finally talk about something. Just give definitions. Unfortunately, I need one more. So I wanted to discuss two things. First, what is the worst possible value of f? And second, what is it for SLA? So the worst possible value is called universal spectrum. F alpha lambda is the supremum of f alpha lambda over all possible j's. And here somehow we can take only Hausdorff if you take all possible j's. For Minkowski it would be trivial. And well, let's forget about this for a second. Let's talk about Fc of alpha lambda. This would be just the supremum of all.
So, if you do universal beta spectrum, does it become an equality instead of?
Oh yeah, it does.
It does, right?
But with this guy. So because of course beta spectrum so far is defined only for connected sets. It's possible to define it for arbitrary sets, but
I definitely don't have time to talk about.
If you take B of t to be the maximum of all five beta of t, then as Elia pointed out, these two guys are related by equality. So this is now practically the same thing. And here you can take any version of f that you can think of, even the naive one. The primum would still be the same. Now we know. What is the conjecture about? Well, there are so many names in the conjecture that I'm going to try to put them here. So, but the conjecture is basically the following. Let me state it for this square root of epsilon power of z is less equal than 1, and epsilon power of z minus 1, and epsilon power of z is greater than 2. So, you see, it's rotationally symmetric. It's not obvious from the definition, actually, if you think about it, but the conjecture is that it is. And if you translate it to f of alpha lambda, well, it minus infinity when alpha is this. Well, that's because of the first inequality. And then it's 2 minus 1 plus lambda squared over alpha. Okay, and this is very embarrassing, but it's not good.
Sorry, these are equivalent conjectures?
Yeah, they're equivalent. So
what do you mean of the rotation?
So the best bound for the beta spectrum is this. And the best bound for f is this.
Yeah, but what do you mean for that the best bound is the
so if we take the maximum possible value of f. So we fix alpha and lambda.
I think he was asking a different question.
Wondering what the meaning of the fact that B of Z is in bound with the rotation.
What does it mean geometrically? Mm-hmm. Well, for me it just means that certain holomorphic motion is doesn't care about the exponent. So there is no good meaning that I know of. So another thing that somehow this quantity is the correct angle. 1 plus lambda squared over alpha. So this is the correct angle. That's the same as rotational invariance of this. So if we can prove that this is some function of 1 plus lambda squared over alpha, that's the same as rotational invariance.
Is it possible to produce connected sets for which you get this?
Oh.
I mean, what happens when you do just the
injection? Yet another one. More something we are trying to do with Peter, and that's that if you take M to be a quantum set for quadratic Julia, then for this set of this this spectrum is the same as but then yes, there is a theorem which says that there is a set for which this is maximum. But the conjecture that it's Mantle process.
Is there a theorem which says that B of Z has to be in Mantle rotation?
No. Even it's not clear.
So, if it's only it only depends on absolute value of Z, then you don't need any T tilde, right?
I do need a definition because I don't know that it doesn't depend.
No, but if you know, right? Then you drop C tilde.
Eventually maybe, but
variable to make the Legendre transform.
There is. You see, f of alpha lambda is not symmetric. So f of alpha lambda, of course. So for general,
I'm saying make t tilde zero in this definition.
Okay. Yes.
There's no lambda. Lambda drops out.
Right. Yes.
So how come it appears in this guy downstairs?
It does not depend on its rotation value, but it depends on t squared plus t tilde squared.
Oh, I see. Okay.
So
it's still there.
Of course, it's there.
The Legendre transform is not symmetric.
Yeah.
Okay. In the remaining minus 10 minutes.
Let's learn about the LG movie.
I will actually say it. So there are some theorems about it. And there are some theorems which Dima will discuss in the next talk. To answer your question, let me do it in this way. So there is one theorem which basically says that this discussion about general sets is kind of irrelevant. You can do it all for Julia sets. So let's see of alpha lambda is the supremum f of alpha lambda over J to be connected polynomial Julia sets. And the same is so you can look only at the maps to the complement of Julia sets. This should immediately give this conjecture. So at least I asked Misha Lubich and he said sure. And I asked him, what is it, 5 years ago? And it's, well, but because now it's a question in conformal dynamics. So the question which I want to put. Already asked, but it will repeat.
This is
a theorem.
So that this universal things are achieved on
almost achieved. On
not direction. Achieved it supreme. So
it's
there
supreme,
is no.
So there is no supreme.
You fix
but
epsilon, and there's something that gets the entire spectrum up to given. Right.
And actually, Dima, if he has time, will discuss a proof of very similar theorem. Not this one, but some different practices.
Maybe we're running out of time. Can I ask? Can you remind what's the relation of the Mandelbrot set to the Julia set?
So Mandelbrot set is bifurcation locus for the quadratic Julia set. So it's so you look at the points inside the
So it's not the same, right? So why is it there? I mean, you would naively think that there's some.
They are locally the same. Uh-huh. So if there is a quadratic polynomial here, which we cannot do, then morally it should be the same as Mandelbrot set. The same as Mandelbrot set with maximum. But again, this could be a wrong theorem because so far it didn't give the bounds. It gave something else, which I will talk about in a second, but. That's the question for the audience.
So there's one physically meaningful object, and that is t equals 1.
Just
right.
The lines.
And then it's the statement that the level lines of Green's function, so you just take the Green's potential, you measure an equipotential line, it's the statement that the length can grow no faster than epsilon to the minus 1/4. And I point out that 1/4 is a rational number.
No, very fast. I don't know how fast, that's how
you
fast.
Said that 1/4 is rational.
Okay, so it's very fast. For me, it's about the same distance. Anyway. So what this theorem does give is if you look at f of alpha, the general one, which is supposed to be more difficult, there is no conformal structure there. Well, actually, it's not. Basically, using the fractal approximation for non-connected sets, there is the same theorem for general sets. And then one sees that it's, well, basically f c of alpha lambda, one, well, we are far away from criticality, and then it's minimum alpha n2. So this somehow is easy to see, but well, this is our theorem.
So there's no Berlin limit for it, so it's divided.
So the Berlin limit is 1/2. So if you.
But where is the half?
Exactly. So if we move. So let me do it for. Forget about lambda for now, because I cannot draw three dimensional functions. But so this is a conjecture for fc of alpha. So it's 2 minus 1. What I am saying is that the f of alpha is just you add this line. Because the rate of decay of harmonic measure for non-connected set can be all arbitrarily small.
So 2 minus 1 over alpha is a conjecture.
No, yeah. I know.
So
yeah.
2 minus alpha is a question mark, but this equality is not. So this is the rate. So it gives something, but it didn't give the number. Yeah, now I should finish. Okay, so I also wanted to say that something can be proven about this for SLE, but likely there is a talk of Dima Beliaev, who will explain what he can do for SLE. So let me just mention that, unfortunately, what he or me and Bertrand can do is only, beta spectrum, but beta spectrum in average for SLE. So there is a prediction what f of alpha lambda would be for SLE. But it's still not proven. So all we know is that there is some beta tilde which agrees with this prediction. Okay, so let me